Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, you have now just entered 4th Street. My name is Kobe.
I'm Charles, not Charlie.
I'm Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. Yo, what's good, everybody? This is the 4th Street Sports Show. I am your host, Kobe.
I am Charlie, and Charles isn't here, so I can't say not Charles, but sad days.
And Smooth off.
And Dima Mixon.
Yes, Dima is our special guest today for this special episode of the 4th Street Sports Show. This is our special baseball regional episode for the 4th Street Sports Show. Of course, we have some, we're going to be touching on a lot in baseball this upcoming week, especially with the regional kicking off tomorrow. But first, we will be talking about the Conference USA Tournament recap, just to recap y'all on everything that happened there. Then we will have the baseball regional coming up, which we will get into. And then, of course, we got to give our flowers to all the Southern Miss athletes, whether current or past, who received honors during the week. But first, we are going to start off with the Conference USA Tournament. And then I wasn't there on the first day, but Dima and Austin were there, and they could kind of give their input on what happened as well. I was kind of there on the second day to catch the first Southern Miss game. But on the first day, we kind of had some midnight madness on the first day of the college. I'm tripping.
Weather madness delay.
Southern Miss would defeat UAB on the first day of the tournament. And this game didn't kick off till like midnight or something like that, Demo Austin.
Yeah, so the game was supposed to start at 4.
It didn't start till 9.
It didn't. The first pitch was 9:20.
Yes.
To give y'all perspective, I was in Hawaii and I was looking on Twitter and I was like, they still haven't started, because it was getting late there. I knew it was late there. So yeah,
and it was better than 12:15 last year losing a Tech.
So. It really was.
I remember that, yeah.
12:15. That's the funny part about it. So yeah.
Definitely wishing for good weather in this regional, which, hey, meteorologist Charlie might have it coming your way.
Kind of scary. It was a little bit of dark clouds outside today, and it was a bit of a wind coming in. So hopefully that passes us. But if it doesn't, it's just something to look out. But from what I've seen so far, it's going to be a great weekend for the weather. But today was kind of a scare a little bit. So. This is something to look out for.
Yeah. So, but again, Southern Miss will defeat UAB on the first day of the tournament. On Friday, we move on. They would lose to UTSA 7-6 in a very close game that could have went either way toward the ninth inning. After that loss, that would move them over to the loser's bracket. And then later in the day, they would defeat Florida Atlantic 5-0 after a great catch from Reese Ewing. And I think that everybody was talking about that catch the entire day that Friday, I believe. So
yeah, it saved Hunter Riggins' career at that point.
I forgot who tweeted it out, but Hunter said that he's gonna buy Reese's steak or something like that. So, but yeah, that everybody was talking about that catch on that Friday. But from then on, Southern Miss would have. For them to move on to the championship game, they would have to defeat UTSA twice to get there. But sadly, on Saturday, their run in the Conference USA tournament would come to an end after a loss to UTSA 11-2. So they would sadly not make it to the championship game. Louisiana Tech would go on to defeat UTSA in the championship game for them to earn their way into their regional, which we will talk about later as well. So, Dima, Austin, any final thoughts on the Conference USA tournament?
Well, that first game against UAB, little chippy. It was a late game, and pretty much the entire game from the very, very beginning was a very chippy game. And Southern Miss just kind of grinded it out and won the game, trailing some in that game. And they just kind of gutted it out and got the victory. And then against UTSA, it just seemed like they could never get any momentum. They did lead at one point in the game, but then gave up the lead immediately.
Yeah, just in that UTSA game, I think it was in the top of the eighth. No, the bottom of the eighth, I believe, where they had an opportunity, and I think they grounded out into a play like that. They mm-hmm. had guys on, like, in scoring position after they had scored one run, and then they had a shot at getting another score, and I think that really hindered them. I forgot exactly what it was. I'm trying to think of what it was. I had to go to the stat sheet and the play-by-play. But they had another shot at scoring, getting a stand in the lead to take the lead, and they missed out on their shot. UTSA is a good ball club, and I'll let you take it from there. But Ryan Flores hit a solo homer, and then coming back in the bottom of the ninth, Slade Wilkes tried to get. It was an error. It was appeared to be an error at first base after a ground out to a grounder to first, and the first baseman kind of slipped up and made a mistake with it, and it went under a review, and turns out that Slade was out, which was the call on the play, but it was a pretty close call, and after that, it kind of went downhill for them. They appeared a little bit hot in the UTSA game. You had a two-shot homer from Blake Johnson, and then you had another homer against UAB early on. I think that was by Slade. That helped them win the game there. But other than that, the bats were not hot, really. FAU, you look at that game, it was a slow start. They scored their first run in the seventh and scored two more in the eighth.
Got the first hit in the fourth.
Yeah.
Had the first hit. That was a Dustin Dickerson. I think it was a single. Dustin Dickerson single. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty tough week for the Golden Eagles. It wasn't impressive, but it got them through to still host a regional, which was kind of scary because they played some great ball clubs who I thought, you know, were definitely going to make it, Old Dominion and UTSA.
Yeah. Yeah. Still shocked. Still shocked about UTSA not making it.
Still shocked about that. I'm actually more shocked about Old Dominion, though. Old Dominion was a great ball club. They barely lost to La Tech and UTSA also. But
how do neither of them make it? I'm like, that's what I'm like. One of them.
I mean, so Ole Miss was 39th RPI and UTSA was 37th, and they made it to the conference USA championship, who's number five. Conference USA is number five in RPI. Yeah. So it's just shocking. And and UTSA beat Southern Miss twice.
Yes.
I should have bumped it up.
They beat them twice, and they beat them three times in the season. So
yeah, including those two in the
championship. Yeah. So I think it was a tough one for them. But at the end of the day, Scott Berry kind of talked about it a little bit. But he also said he talked to those coaches, and they talked about how heartbreaking it was and how it happened to Southern Miss a couple years back too. But you look at it, UTSA and Old Dominion didn't have a tough non-conference schedule, and their non-conference strength of schedule wasn't strong. And I think that was the deciding factor for the committee. Yeah. If you ask me, Ole Miss, I don't care what anybody says, but Ole Miss is a good ball club, but I don't think they should have made it. But
absolutely,
with teams in the SEC playing SEC ball, you know, once you get hot, you know what I'm saying, those teams kind of are looked at like a hot commodity in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's what happened with Ole Miss. Even though they didn't play well in the SEC tournament, I don't know. It's still iffy to me that Ole Miss made it. But I definitely think that ball club is pretty dangerous in the month of June. But Old Dominion especially to me, because that team can hit the ball out of the park with ease. And UTSA, which was a good ball hitting the club. I think they had eight guys that were hitting over 300. Which is impressive, you know, to have eight guys in over 300. So those were teams that I was highly surprised about, and they definitely got snubbed. And then another team to me that got snubbed was NC State also. I want to just
come. They got snubbed.
Those were some teams, but I understand why the committee did it. But you can see that the committee is leaning towards that non-conference scheduling, even though some teams had a superb conference, like UTSA and Old Dominion to me, conference tournament. So. I'll hand it back to you, Damon. I'm not gonna talk too much.
Well, I mean, I think you hit all the nails on the edge there. I mean, I think that, you know, for this last weekend's tournament, you know, the whole year it's come down to whether or not Slovers can hit the ball. And it's not whether or not they can hit the ball, it's whether or not they can hit the ball in key situations. And time and time again, they would have an opportunity and they wouldn't be able to capitalize on it. And like you said, in the bottom of the eighth or whatever it was against UTSA, mm-hmm. they had a chance to take the lead. They had a man on second, one out or something like that. And they didn't get him home. And those are hits that you have to do, especially when we're fixing to talk about these teams, these ball clubs that they're fixing to have to play to get to a super regional.
Right.
You know, they have to cut off that timely hitting. If they don't, you're looking at maybe just two games here this weekend in Hattiesburg.
Yep. But that's definitely something that they had a problem with. Runners in, especially with runners in scoring position. Every time they would have runners in scoring position, they would not capitalize on it, and they would never score runs off of that. And that's definitely a huge problem that they got to fix going into the regional. Because again, we're going to talk about it later, but you don't want to not score runs in this regional. So, yeah.
And you know, this was something that wasn't just this year, because I didn't really cover baseball until last year, but all of last year, this was a problem as well. Everybody was talking about their aces back then, you know, Hunter Stanley, Walker Powell, and even Etheridge getting in. They were kind of the leaders of that team last year, and it kind of came down to games where they would just blank. And it's kind of similar, just looking outside, kind of letting Dima do his thing this year. But I see the similarities in these teams. But then also you got to think, kind of have the same problem on your hand. You have a lot of these same guys in a similar situation. Does that help them? You know, will they be able to get over this? I think that's really just kind of something, if that makes sense. You know, they faced this problem before and they've been able to get over it, as we've seen in this season. They've had blocks and then a couple games later, they're hitting it like on fire, you know? So I think it's something that they can get over, but we're going to transition to see how they'll get over it and the teams they have to face. They have some good matchups, but also some pretty difficult matchups. All these teams are really scrappy, and then, you know, there's some teams, some players on these teams that will ruin your day.
Yeah. And moving on to that Hattiesburg Regional, this past Sunday, Southern Miss and Pete Taylor Park was named as one of the 16 regional hosts for the 64-team NCAA baseball tournament. Then later that Monday, we will find out that Southern Miss is the number 11 overall seed in the nation. Three spots out of that coveted top eight that we were looking to get. Then later the teams were announced who will be taking part in the Hattiesburg Regional. Southern Miss, of course, Kennesaw State, who are the Athletic Sun Tournament champions, Army West Point, who I believe won the Patriot League, if I'm not mistaken, and LSU. It has been announced for the Hattiesburg Regional. Thoughts on the teams that were announced for the regional, guys?
Sure. So, to start with, just great, I think, just a – I mean, I think everybody pretty much assumed LSU was going to come to Hattiesburg. A lot of people thought that they were going to host. I think that they would have gotten another win over Kentucky in the SEC tournament. They definitely would have hosted. But since they didn't host and Southern Miss did Sunday night, it was kind of obvious that LSU was going to come up to Hattiesburg. And so just starting with them, I think that their offense is one of the best in the country. It's probably under Tennessee's. It's very, very good. And their two best hitters
MLB first rounders.
Yeah, I mean, they're Jacob Berry and Cade Doughty. But so the series that they were swept in by Ole Miss two or three weeks ago, they did not have those hitters. And then the SEC tournament, they didn't have those hitters as well. And they still pushed Tennessee pretty well, who's obviously the best team in baseball right now. And then so they're a great ball club. Their pitching and defense is where probably one of their weakest points in that game. So if that's a potential matchup with the Golden Eagles, I think that, like we've been saying this whole time, it's going to come down to hitting, but we can break down each of these potential matchups. But as far as Kennesaw State, another great ball club there. I was pretty surprised when they were announced to Hattiesburg. I definitely didn't.
Yeah, it was a shock to everybody, I guess.
Yeah. I thought they would be a part of the Georgia Tech regional, honestly, but I guess it's different how they're doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, Kennesaw State, solid ball club. They beat Liberty, who got an at-large in the ASUN championship, and that's a pretty nice win right there. And Liberty's a great ball club, and they're in a really tough regional themselves. And then back to Army. Army, they're interesting.
They're a good, just to pick it up for you right fast, Damon, they're a good ball hitting club, hitting it with a batting average of 301 right now. And they have a solid ace right now, and I hope I'm saying his right name right, Connelly Early with a 3.39 ERA, who can definitely have some pitches. I think through 79 innings or so, he has 80 strikeouts or something like that. Mm.
Yeah, and he's starting against Southern Miss tomorrow at 1 yeah. p.m. That's what they announced mm-hmm. at the press conference. And as far as Army, they're 154 RPI. And so some stats here for about Army, just because we can start talking about Army because that's who Southern Miss is going to play first. But, so they have a 1-10 record against top RPI 100. So in the top 100 RPI, they're 1-10. They're 28-9 against 151 and worse. So they definitely have a very weak schedule, and they definitely haven't played really anybody or beaten really anybody on the league of Southern Miss. And I don't think they've seen anything to the pitching of Southern Miss, and that's kind of what the head coach for Army was talking about. You can remind me of his name, I kind of forgot it, but
you're talking about
Jim Foster, head coach for Army. Yeah. He wasn't seeming too confident in that press conference. It was kind of funny, but he was shooting it straight, and they asked him what it would take for Army to win the regional, and he kind of sighed and said, "We have to do a lot." He talked about Southern Miss's pitching, and like I said, I don't think Army has seen anything like they're going to see tomorrow with Tanner Hall. So while down the line, you know, they have a pretty good lineup and nice batting averages, as Austin was saying, but I don't think they've seen anything like they're going to see tomorrow with Tanner Hall and Landon Harper maybe coming in to relieve him. And so it'll be interesting. I think they're going to have to do a lot to upset the Golden Eagles or Dalton.
And that was the big news today that we found out that Tanner Hall will be pitching the first game tomorrow against Army. Were you guys surprised by the choice to go with Tanner Hall instead of saving him for later in the regional?
I was not. And the reason I was not is because Southern Miss would – they'd normally just stick with their regular rotation. And I know last week they pitched Hurston Waldrop for game two instead of Hunter Riggins. But I think that Tanner Hall is always going to be your first game. And I think just saving him, honestly, it didn't make too much sense to me. And I think that Hunter Riggins has honestly been pitching better than him over the past 2 weeks. I think that I like Hunter Riggins against a potential LSU or Kennesaw State matchup rather than Hall, in my opinion. And I think Hall could do his stuff against Army, maybe pitch him for six innings and get him rested, maybe even for Monday night.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You have the possibility of saving him for, let's say, a winner-takes-all matchup against
– I think that's what Southern Miss fans would want instead of just pitching him Saturday. And we can get into our predictions of this. But I think that game on Saturday is going to not be good for Southern Miss.
Correct.
Preview.
I was actually like, Demon kind of broke it down to me, but I actually was surprised. And I can understand why you have him on Thursday for the Monday, just in case it happens. But, for a team like Army right now, I would have put out Hunter Riggins. I would have started Hunter. But I'm not the coach of Southern Miss. I want to just say that myself. I'm not Scott Barry. I'm not the, I haven't had NCAA regional experience like him. So
why would you start Hunter Riggins?
The reason that I would start Hunter Riggins is because I feel like that he could go deep into the game. I think he could give you good 7 or 6 innings mm-hmm. right there. Then you can probably bring in your relief guys like a Dalton, who I think has really been stellar so far, or Landon Harper or something like that. But then again, I would kind of I see it as more so of a conservative approach, if you ask me. But I understand why. You look at Tanner Hall, he's your ace. He pitches a great game, You want to get out. You want to start with your best guy in Tanner Hall. But you have two other guys that can pitch as well as Tanner Hall, who are first-team guys, first-team all-conference USA. You have not Hunter Riggins, but Hurston. You have Hurston who can, set the tone. So I think that all three of these guys can set the tone for a tournament. And that you can bring Tanner in when needed, when you want to bring in your best guy, he's been your best guy. He's collected all the accolades. He just got named to first team all collegiate baseball, first team all American for collegiate baseball. So I think that for me, I look at it as I want him against the best team in the tournament other than myself right now. So I would throw out a Hunter, and then I would have him for the LSU game. But you know what I'm saying? Say if LSU continues on and they don't get defeated, you know, and they force a game 6 or 7, then you would, you know, need your Tanner again or something like that. But that's what the only reason I said, you know, from my understanding, was that I felt like Tanner Hall could be the guy to put the pressure on LSU, especially if you come out on a 2-0 lead. You know what I'm saying? Starting the tournament, that's real pressure. If you face LSU or Kennesaw State, I don't want to bypass them, but I guess I kind of threw out my prediction right there for the first couple of games. So this is my only thing, is I want my best guy against the best team in the regional, and yeah. I would, you know, start him then and stuff. But I understand starting him now, just in case, you know, a Monday game happens, which is very possible in this regional.
And honestly, I wasn't surprised that they went with Tanner Hall, but I did think that they were going – I didn't think that they were going to start Riggins or maybe Hurston. I kind of thought they were going to go into, like, their mid-game – like they do for, like, midweek strategy, like, and go into the bullpen. But then I remembered that – and after listening to y'all, then I remembered that this is tournament playoff baseball, and then you can go with your starters there and not have to worry too much about resting them and getting their arms ready. But I was thinking more of that, because I think that the biggest strength that Southern Miss has in this is pitching in this. That's their biggest. They could really go with any arm, but that's where the hitting would happen. But that would put a lot of pressure on the hitting to actually be at their best. But the thing about Southern Miss is that they had pitching on this side. This was their biggest strength going into it. So I thought they were going to take that route and maybe put like a Matt Adams or somebody else from the bullpen on the mound to start and save those guys for later. But then I remember that this is tournament/playoff baseball, and now this is where you pitch your best guys now. So that's what I kind of thought, but I'm not surprised that they're putting 10 all of them out first game. So,
you know, Southern Miss's strength is pitching. We don't want to repeat ourselves too much, but it is. And what's interesting about all these matchups is that the other team's strengths are hitting. And that's where it's like, you know, you've got, you know, it's a matchup where best offense against best defense, who wins. Maybe the saying defense wins championships, but still, they're going to have a really tough test each game. I think Jackson included that Kennesaw State is like 9th in the country in hits. So if they end up playing them, you know, how much I see the strategy with Tanner Hall. If you're trying to get, you know, out as quick as possible in that first game, you know, grab that win, because if you're going in the bullpen early, it's not going to help you later in the tournament. And I didn't get to watch the Conference USA tournament like y'all did, but I see that they kind of slowed down in that 11-2 loss at the end, which kind of, I won't say a foretelling, but just an example of what could go wrong in this tournament, because if they aren't getting that performance on the mound, then it could go wrong for them, especially against teams that could take advantage of mishaps like all these teams that Southern Miss will be playing.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, pretty much. So do we kind of want to go into predictions right now about what's going to happen and what could potentially happen in this room?
Well, do you want to talk about the other two teams first?
My bad.
Let's talk about Kennesaw State here. Quick stance they got here for us. Bats a 301, 462 slugging. They have a 378 on base percentage, which is very good. 121 doubles, 11 triples, 67 home runs, 221 walks. As a team, and I think this is Kennesaw State's weakest stat line, 6.08 ERA as a team.
I thought it was
6.08.
ERA. Okay.
And also another interesting fact is this is the first time that KSU has played anybody in this regional. They've never played Army, they've never played LSU, and they've never played Southern Miss. So
wow,
that's kind of cool. So it's a little unique for them.
Kind of crazy. They got a guy on this team with a 99 ERA.
Oh man, that's kind of crazy.
But they can hit the ball, and just like Charlie just said, you know, that it's interesting that the number one team in this regional, their strength is pitching, but the other three teams, their strength isn't pitching, their strength is hitting. So when Southern Miss fans have been saying all season, you know, hey, our pitching is what's going to get us to Omaha, what's going to get us to the World Series and everything, like, this is where it comes down to, that everybody knows Southern Miss batting is not to the level of LSU, it's not to the level, probably not even to the level of Kennesaw State, and then, you know, Army, I don't know, but it's definitely not to the level of LSU or Kennesaw State, in my opinion. And but pitching, they are the best team here, and it's not even a doubt. So, but, you know, but like I said, Kennesaw State, just a nice season for them, 35-26, 19-11. I'm going to check their RPI, so y'all talk about
it. Yeah, and just kind of to pick it up from you right there, they have five guys on the All-A-Suns team. They have, you know, their biggest slugger right now, Josh Hatcher, first team All-Sun. All-A-Sun. Also, they have two guys. Well, they have actually three guys that made the freshman team. Smith Pinson, who's a pitcher, Zach Corbin, and then you have Donovan Cash, who's a freshman of the year, second team All-Sun and All-Freshman team. And you have Tyler Simmon, who's second team All-Sun. And their guy, you know, that's really been slugging the bat for them, like I said, is Josh Hatcher. He has a 3.86 batting average right now, 55 RBIs, 13 homers, the second most on his team. And slugging percentage, he has a 6.648 slugging percentage right there. And he's a guy that, you know, is been stellar for this team, really and truly. So that's a guy that's really been special for them. Right after him is Donovan Cash, and then you have Tyler Simmons. So Donovan Cash has a batting average of 3.56, 55 RBIs, which is second most on the team right now. And they have actually third in homers with 10, and he has 85 hits on the season. So they definitely have some guys that can truly hit on base percentage. He has a 416, and Josh Hatcher has a 444 on base percentage right there. So they definitely have a lot of guys that can really play some ball right here. So this is a team you really can't count out. Like Demon said, they are a team that has their hidden power. Not the hidden power, but they are a team that hits pretty well. Like he said, ninth. Well, I think you pointed it out, and Jackson pointed out in the prediction sheet that Kennesaw State is ninth and hidden in the nation. So that's truly a hard stat to kind of
– yeah.
I'm trying to find the right words here, but it's
something to keep in mind.
Like, you know, these guys can hit the ball.
It's something to keep in mind. I feel like Kennesaw State, that's definitely a team you can't count out. And I think LSU might have their hands full this Friday coming up with them. So that's definitely a team not to count out in this one as well.
And I like to make this point too. I know that you know, Dima pointed out, and everybody just pointed out about the pitching. But I'm not really gonna play devil's advocate too much. But the pitching has been good for Southern Miss. But on the same side of it, you know, in the month of June, guys, you know, with good ball hitting clubs, if they can really catch fire, they can be truly dangerous. My thing, and I'll state it later on, is, you know, can Southern Miss catch that fire? I mean, they caught that fire in the Ole Miss regional, which almost propelled them, you know, to winning their regional. They forced a game seven. So we'll just have to see. But with good hitting teams right now, hitting is definitely going to be pretty, you know, pretty special, and it's going to be a huge component. It is offense versus defense. You're putting your best, you know, out there. So it's just going to be interesting to see how the pitching and the hitting battle goes. Being that, you know, Southern Miss does have the good pitching, but if these guys get high up in the count, we could see a lot of these guys be moved around. So it's just going to be interesting to see how the batting goes, because definitely in the month of June, the ballparks are smaller and one can really change the game, which can play in the favor of Southern Miss too if one bat catches fire too. So that's just my only thing, and it's been a concern all season, and pitching has been a strong suit, but I have a few concerns, but
watch us talk all about the pitching, and then by the second game they pull a CMO game out of their hats or something.
Yeah, so
They got the capabilities. They got the same, lots of the same guys that were on that team. Obviously, no Reed Tremble, but I'm a plug Student Prince. All of y'all's predictions are on the Student Prince. Austin is writing about Danny Lynch has had some sparks for this team this year. They've got those guys that can give the sparks. Dustin Dickerson, obviously, leading hitter on the team. You know, they're going to need those guys to show up.
Sarge and Reese, too.
Yeah, Sarge and Reese. You got those guys. It's just consistency. And as we go further into this tournament, I think that's where, you know, it's going to become more important because obviously you're going to wear down. And I think if we could put Charlie's key to watch for, I would say watch for those first two games. How far they go into the bullpen, I think, really determines later into this series how it plays out. Because you don't want to get your final matchup championship game, maybe possibly in the loser's bracket, you know, as it happened last year, and you get worn out. Because I don't think Southern Miss is that team to go against, especially when we're going to about to talk about the hitters that LSU has. You don't want that scenario.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point because against UTSA in the Conference USA title game, even Coach Scott Berry was talking about this in the post game. When Matt Adams started that game against UTSA, he was up to 60 pitches in like the second and third inning, you know. Yes. And so it's just important, like you said, for Southern Miss to for them to get in the right counts and do what they've been doing all season.
Counts are definitely going to be important because, you know, with the Matt Adams game, you saw, I think it was Tapia. I think Tapia had like a bat where Tapia.
16 pitcher bat.
Yeah, it was a 16 pitcher bat, and then another was like a 10 pitcher bat. Mm-hmm. I think that was by Flores. Yeah, go ahead, Cub.
Oh, yeah, I had a question. Demon, didn't Hurston go like 107 when he faced UTSA? Yeah, so
Pitching. Hunter went like 109.
109, almost
107. Yeah, I don't think Hurston went 107, but I could be wrong.
Probably was earlier in the year. Are you talking about earlier in the year?
Nah, I'm for the tournament. I'm like,
oh yeah, it was Hunter. Yeah, it was Hunter.
Oh, it was Hunter.
Hunter went 109.
Yeah, it was against FAU. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that's just my only concern is, you know, if these guys are really, you know, hitting foul balls and tapping them out, and then, you know, eventually a base hit happens or something, that's going to be really important. And like I said, man, hitting the ball well right now in June is definitely special. I don't know if I want to take offense over defense right now in the month of June. You know, you definitely want some type of defense, but LSU is a team that can catch fire. Kansas State. Let's talk about it. So.
Yes. Surprisingly, this has kind of been it's not been like a big year for LSU. They, because a storied program, of course, me being from New Orleans, Slidell area, and Baton Rouge being pretty much an hour up the road, LSU, their program has always been storied and always a team to look out for, especially around this time. But it's kind of been a quiet year, especially under the first year for Jay Johnson, who's taking over for the coach, Paul Maneri, who retired last year. It's kind of been a down year, even though they were ranked at points of the year, and then they got quality wins against Florida, teams like Oklahoma, and, of course, beating Vandy toward the end of the year. Kind of been a quiet year, but they do have four players that over 300 average, despite them having a team average of 289. And like Austin said, this is a team that can catch fire, especially with hitting. The Kennesaw State game is really going to be a test to see where they're at right now, though.
I definitely do want to point this out. I definitely could see Kennesaw State knocking off LSU in this first game.
Oh, bold.
I was going to ask if y'all have any upsets because, you know, there's upsets in every almost every regional.
Yeah.
So
yes,
it is. I could definitely see these guys losing. But, you know, for Kennesaw, it's definitely going to be how is their pitching.
Well, let's talk about LSU just a second because they're number two at batting percentage in the SEC. They're number two slugging percentage in the SEC. Mm-hmm. They're number two in on-base percentage in the SEC. They're number two in total bases. They're number two in runs scored. They're number two in RBIs. They're number two in base hits. They're number two, number three in home runs, and number three in doubles, and number three in walks. So yeah, that is a solid offense in one of the best baseball leagues in America. And you know who's number one in most of those categories? Tennessee. So to be say you're second to Tennessee, probably the greatest college baseball team we've seen in a long time. So last year, Arkansas was the team that everybody thought was going to win the College World Series, and they were like plus 400 to win or something. And like this year, it's like plus 900 for Tennessee. So it's almost four times more likely they're saying that Tennessee is going to win the championship. And LSU is right there with them. They're number two in all of these categories. So LSU can hit the ball, and that is definitely something that I think we need to take because if Southern Miss plays LSU, it will be the best pitching team or the second best pitching team against the second best offensive team. And I think that – I don't know if LSU is actually the second best hitting team in America. I don't think
No. They're the second best in the SEC.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't believe that. No. They're not the second best ball hitting club.
And with Jacob Berry and Kay Daughtry coming back, that's definitely going to be something
to watch for LSU. They're LSU's head coach, Jay Johnson, said that, quote, they're here, they're on the 27-man roster, they've improved each day, and I expect them to play. And they make LSU a different offensive team when they're on the field. Mm-hmm. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, Ole Miss swept them in Baton Rouge, and that was without Cade Doughty and Jacob Berry. They did not have him for the SEC tournament. But I do want to point out that it is not always – they're not going to be – you know, at their greatest potential, because coming off of an injury in baseball is harder than coming off of an injury in a lot of other sports, because you have to find back your swing. You have to find back, you know, everything that you've, it takes a while to develop that. And so I don't think that they're going to be 100%, but I think that those two players will still give a spark to the LSU offense.
Yes. I definitely agree. This team is, I don't know, man. It's teams like this that you really have to worry about in regionals. Like, mm-hmm. these teams can really scare you. I mean, I think a popping stat for me right now is just, you know, these guys are hitting 100 home runs on the season. I mean, not too many teams are doing it. Somebody can find me that stat, but I don't know how many teams are hitting above 100 right now in the nation in home runs. So it's definitely just scary for these guys. You know these guys are packing power. You know these guys can hit the ball out of the park. So that's kind of the true thing for me is, I mean, truly a thing for me is, I mean, teams like this in a ballpark like the Pete, and I want to say the Pete is really on the smaller scale of some of the other, you know, baseball stadiums around the country. Yeah. So, I mean, one hit and it can go out of the park like that. So, and we saw it in the Conference USA tournament right there. I forgot how many home runs were batted all throughout the season, but I know by day two, 17 homers were hit in just 2 days. Yeah. So that's truly special. And well, yeah, 17 homers were hit and yeah, in 2 days. 17 homers were hit in 2 days. So and that was out of 18. So it probably won't be that many for four teams, but obviously if we break that in half, that's about 10 homers or 10 homers. You know what I'm saying, in 1 or 2 days. So that can truly be possible for a team. Not for a team, but just for the tournament. And especially, I think LSU can hit the ball out of the park. And it could be real dangerous right here.
Yeah, and their pitching is probably one of their – it's good enough to get by. And the head coach didn't Jay Johnson did not say who they'd be starting tomorrow against Kennesaw State. But I will just assume it'd be their ace. And and then Mooney, Mikhail Hilliard, and but after that, you see a pretty big drop off for their other starters. And if Southern Miss would get past Army, they'd be playing their second man, which I think is good for Southern Miss. But like we said, if they hit the ball, it's all about
it's
all about hitting the ball.
Because Southern Miss will win this regional very comfortably if they can hit the ball, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I'm looking at LSU pitching. I'm seeing some very high ERAs, and that could be a problem for LSU going forward. But yeah.
I'd like to just point this out. Like I was saying, it's only 15 teams in the nation hitting above 100 runs. So that's a pretty surprising stat right there. And you have one of those teams in your regional. So that's just an eye popping stat right there for me. If anything, you have, you know, that type of firepower. Also, something that has to be noted and pointed out is that LSU's fielding. Right now, currently they have a fielding percentage of 0.961, and their opponents have one of 975 to 0.961. But LSU has a problem fielding. I think right now I saw a stat, and I think I'm going to credit Andrew on this. I saw a stat of where they are having an error of 1.38 errors per game. And their fielding has not been great. If you look at it, well, a 0.961 fielding, that's not good.
Yeah, and
it's not good. It's terrible. I think that's one of the worst in the nation, if you ask me. And I'm kind of going to backtrack and make sure I have all the stats correct. But that fielding is definitely an issue for LSU. It's been an issue all year. And, you know, going back to it, like you talked about their pitching, their pitching is okay. You know what I'm saying? Their pitching is okay, but
it'll get them by.
It'll get them by, but fielding won't get you by if you make a couple errors and a couple stops, especially against a team like Southern Miss or even Kennesaw State, even that breather of room.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that the issue with LSU comes into play is, you know, you have the batting and all that, but one error can really turn around a game for you.
And considering how many ground balls Southern Miss hits, I mean, yes. It might help them make a few errors.
Yes.
And Austin, to your point, like you said, yeah, one error could make it really bad. We've seen that in some of these Southern Miss games early in the season and even later toward the season too as well. So yeah,
stat here. So LSU and Southern Miss have played 7 common opponents, and LSU has had 15 games against those teams and Southern Miss has had 14. LSU is 8-7 against common opponents and Southern Miss is 11-3. So just an interesting stat compared to LSU and Southern Miss, but then again, it that kind of is a weird stat. But
it's a weird stat.
It doesn't matter because they haven't played each other.
So. Yeah, it really doesn't. it's a kind of weird stat, but you know LSU, like you talked about them not being up to their full strength, and also just to highlight, like I said, this is per Andrew Abbey's article that he wrote today. Shout out to Andrew, man. He's special.
Andrew.
They are ranked 235 in the country with their fielding percentage of 961, and that's last in the SEC. And I also talked about the errors. It was 1.38 errors per game. And that's really something that pops out to me. If these guys mess up on something like that, or you give Southern Miss a slither of a chance, because Southern Miss, let's just be honest, all season, they've had slow starts to the bat. Slow starts to games.
Very slow starts.
Slow starts to games. And I'll just like to highlight it. Demon, you know, you were there, the FAU game. FAU game, they didn't score to the 7th inning. And then, you know, they eventually won. But you can't do that against a lot of great teams. You know, they tried to do it against UTSA, and it just didn't work out, you know. Mm-hmm. So, for me, one slither of a shot can really change around the game for Southern Miss, and I think that's what they kind of feed off of out of these slow starts. So if LSU screws up, or you know we see that potential game, or because I'm already talking about it ahead of time, and I need to slow down, but it's one game at a time for Southern Miss, as they noted. But I'm pretty sure Southern Miss will play LSU in this regional. I can get.
Oh yeah. I see your rematch happening. I definitely see a rematch from the Baton Rouge regional not too long ago happening. And also one more thing too. I think that was one of the key points I had. Southern Miss needs to start early and get runs on the board too, especially if they're trying to win and if they're trying to get through these wins, they gotta start early. They can't wait till the 5th inning to try to get runs in and all that and close the game out.
So everybody want to give let's say 3 keys to Southern Miss winning the Heisman Regional? Like 3 things they must do to win the Heisman region.
I gave you one, and I'm trying to remember how exactly I phrase it, but basically get out of there early the first 2 games you play. Get out of there early, get that win. And I think honestly that's why they put Tanner Hall, because they're confident in that. I would say second, I would say start early, because if not, you don't want to fall behind. And then third, I gotta say, ooh, what is my third? Three is a lot, damn, three is a lot. I gotta say, just because of the problems they suffered earlier in the season, you have to minimize on errors, because that, I mean, that's fundamentals. It sounds, you know, yeah, kind of fundamental, but it was a problem that they were dropping games. And I think when we saw them on their, you know, huge winning streak, they were doing everything. In most of those games, that was at their peak, you know, performance. They were doing everything right. And then we kind of saw time periods where they would have some, especially early on the season, which is natural, those errors. And that can't happen in games like this. I think that's just a basic.
Go ahead, Kobe.
Pretty much what I said earlier, starting early on the batting side as well. You can't wait till the later innings to start scoring runs. Definitely to start scoring runs to put your foot on next and let them know that this is your regional, because you do not want, because you are hosting. And I've seen a bunch of teams that have been great during the season host regionals and get knocked out early because they don't score a lot of runs. So score runs early, like Charlie said, also errors. Cause I saw that in the UTSA game, two big errors. I feel like it was a close game in that UTSA game, but it definitely cost them. I feel like it definitely was a key factor in why they lost that game.
Reese Ewing dropped the ball in left field to put the two tying runs in the seventh for UTSA.
That, and then the miscommunication at first base. At first base, that definitely happened. So errors definitely got definitely also, and also I know this is not really, well, yeah, this could be a key. This last one, use the home crowd to your advantage. Everybody knows that this regional is going to be sold out. Everybody's going to be there. Use that to your advantage, because you have it's been a while since Hattiesburg has hosted the regional. So use them to your advantage, because they are going to be there and in full effect. If I know LSU, they're definitely going to have some fans from BR up in there too, since it's not far of a drive. So definitely my third one is definitely use the home crowd to your advantage.
I'm going to add on to that. For our fourth one is throw it in the dirt, guys. Got to be in a full effect for Southern Miss.
Please, no. Please, no. I would rather not.
100%, then why is Southern Miss even playing, you know?
Okay.
Seems better on TV.
Hey, he's definitely going to make I think he's definitely going to make a national. I'm calling it right now. He's making a national appearance. He'll get national recognition.
Between him and the Vanderbilt
Whistler. He'll definitely get some national recognition if Southern Miss does well too. But just him showing up is important. But for me, my keys are definitely, you gotta get out there early. I think that's one that's important. My three keys are batting. I mean, you know, you're going to pitch pretty well with your pitchers. You just have to be able to accommodate them. So my three things are batting. I'm really not specific. Errors, of course, is something that I can talk about, but I'll keep that as something for my fourth one, just honorable mention. But for me, you have to score early. You have to get out and score early. Second, you can't leave batters on base. I saw a stat. I'm crediting Andrew. I've been seeing a lot of his articles, but he noted this, that USM leaves an average of 8.13 runners on base per game. That's eight guys that you've left on base in the game. And that's something that you can't have happen. You can't have eight guys left on base in the game for you right now for Southern Miss, especially in the NCAA region.
8.13 guys, let me correct you.
Just rounded it. Yeah, 8. that 0.13 on.
Somebody's foot. They just threw it on second. They were like, oh, we left.
So they've left an average of 9.3 on in the last 11 games. And I believe in the last, just to point it out, in their last 10 games, I'm going to pull it up because I just saw the stat on this. I think in their last 10 games, they have went Let's see. I just had it on Twitter, man. Oh God. I'll bring it up later. But I'll finish my keys in a little bit. I mean my keys now. So that's two. You can't leave guys on base, and you have to capitalize in two out situations.
Yes, that's a big one.
That's a big one for me is, you know, they've had so many chances, and also you can't the double play had. I mean, it can't happen. It's happened two times that I've been at one, and it's happened by the same guy. I'm not trying to throw no shade at him, but Dustin Dickerson, he had one this week where it was a chance for them scoring. He doubled. I think it was loaded bases, wasn't it? Dima, do you remember that game? What game was that?
It was loaded.
Yeah, it was loaded bases, and he hit into a double play. You can't have a double play happen. That's been an issue also. But my issue is with batting. You can't.
It was first and third, actually.
Yeah, first and third. Yeah, runs on corners. Yeah, I was like, man, it's kind of hard to get that. But it that can't happen. And you can't leave guys on base. And you have to get out early. It's just bad for me. You got to find a way to get those batters hot. If you got to bring out the rally. Last year they had the rally pole or something. Was it in the rally pole or something like that?
I think so.
Man, you got to bring that out. So that's just truly something that's been, you know, something huge for them. And I'm kind of just going to just point this out. I think I found it right here. In their last 15 games, they're 9-6 in those last 15 games. So in the last 11 or so games, you leave a 9.3 on. In the last 15 games, you went 9-6. So that's just something to highlight right here. And I'll hand it over to you now, Dean.
Yeah, so I have three main key takeaways, and I think that there is specific areas where Southern Miss could just improve, and if they improve these areas, they'll definitely put themselves in the best possible situation to win. And I think that's number one, the right pitch counts. We've been talking this whole podcast about batting and that they got to get the bats going, they got to be doing that, but they can only do that if they really work these pitchers that they're going to face, because the bullpens of these teams are definitely not anywhere close to the bullpen of Southern Miss. And once they get these starters out, because that's what the problem has been, especially in the conference tournament, was that, you know, they were having 8-pitch innings, 7-pitch innings, 10-pitch innings, where, you know, Southern Miss players be swinging at pitches not even close to the zone. So number one to me in this whole thing is that they get them and they hit the right balls. They hit the balls that they should be hitting, right? They take the balls, hit the strikes. That's the saying. And I think that's the number one important thing, because because what happens with Southern Miss is when they start getting in the slump, they'll start just swinging at everything. It's a mental game, and that flows right into my second one, which is confidence. They have to maintain confidence when they're punched in the mouth. They have to maintain confidence when they're punched in the mouth, because baseball is a mental game just in as much as it is skills.
It's more mental.
And I feel like when I was on the field for the UTSA game, and UTSA put up that 4 spot in the fourth, Southern Miss, the whole locker room was just dead. And it just felt like they were never going to get back in the game once. So I think number two is they have to keep their confidence even when they're punching the mouth. And I know that Scott Barry has said so many times that, though this team never feels like they're going to lose, they're always feeling like they're going to win. But that has to be true every single moment of the game. Three is just play fundamental ball. Like you said, they can't beat themselves. Right. This is three ball clubs, Army, Kennesaw State, and LSU, who can all hit the ball well, and they can't beat themselves. Get the easy outs, catch the ball, field the ground outs, get the bunts, strike people out, do what you've been doing all season on the defensive side of the ball. And if they can do all three of those, if they can hit on the right pitches, if they can keep their confidence when they're punched in the mouth, and they can just play fundamental baseball, they are the best team in this regional. That's why they're the number one seed. That's why they're the number 11 seed. That's what I've been doing all year, and that will punch their ticket either to Miami or potentially host a Super.
Yeah, you might as well add a fourth for 4th Street.
I think if I added a fourth, I think that you just have to, I think everybody said here, when you have people on base, you have to come up with a 2-out hit. This whole season, Southern Miss has not come up with those 2-out hits. And the times they did come up with those 2-out hits, they were huge. Against Ole Miss up in Pearl, Mississippi State, Mississippi State, a couple of Southern Miss's runs came up 2-out hits. And I think that just, it's such big, because I feel UTSA, the first game, six of their 7 runs were 2 outs.
Wow.
With 2 outs.
And they weren't the other team. Another team that surprised me was 2 outs were over the mean.
Right. I mean,
mean got homers on 2-out situations, and it was just crazy. So,
yeah.
I think I'm slicker Old Dominion fan. I'm just
Well, their season's over, so stop being
Old Dominion. Prediction time. I think
prediction time. I'm going.
I think y'all have given me an idea of who I'm going for.
What's sad is that I wrote my prediction online, and I'm probably not even going to go with what I wrote online.
Oh, yeah. Can I just highlight this, too? Before that, we dropped the predictions. I did see this, and this was per NCAA baseball fans. They did a competition grade on the regional for the Hattiesburg Regional. You know, Southern Miss, LSU, Kennesaw State in the regional, and Army in the regional. They talked about their RPI. Southern Miss was ranked 18th in RPI. LSU 25, Kennesaw State 47, and Army 154. Jesus Christ, I messed that one up bad. So this regional is ranked as the 11th most difficult. Based off toughness, it's ranked amongst all 16 sites as the 11th out of 16. Let me backtrack. Yeah, I did read that correctly. Yeah, it is ranked the 11th most difficult regional out of 16. I got kind of confused there because Southern Miss was the 11th regional site too. But it was ranked 11th out of 42.5 with this difficulty. I just want to highlight that Southern Miss in the last 15 games, like I said, was 9-6. LSU 9-6 also. Kennesaw State 8-7, and Army is 11-4 in their last 15 games. So it is ranked 11th out of the toughest regionals in the NCAA tournament. And I just gave you a few stats right there. That was by I got this off of NCAA baseball fans. So I just want to state that. And that's just based off the difficulty. So this is a winnable. I just want to say this is is a winnable regional. The most winnable regional for Southern Miss in a while. Can I just say?
For sure. I think that, well, 2017, they probably should have won that one. But definitely within the – definitely last year and LSU 2019.
Yeah.
Predictions.
Who want to go first?
I'm going last. I'm claiming last.
Okay, I will go first. You know, I see LSU being a force in this regional, but I just look at this year and the challenges Southern Miss has overcome, and I really, like y'all were saying, you know, this is favorable in many ways for Southern Miss, but also it could go wrong. You know, that's any regional. There could be an upset. But I see if Southern Miss sticks to its roots and just gets better at what they've been able to do earlier this season, then I think they can definitely take this series. Just because if you look at it, nobody, Dima, you were saying that, you know, Army and Kennesaw, they really haven't faced a team like Southern Miss. And
not even close, definitely not pitching.
To be frank, LSU, I don't think is ready for some of Southern Miss either. So I really think Southern Miss is the favorable, you know, winner to this series. And I just look at what kind of the chip they have on their shoulder, even though they're ranked higher, you know, they've been in regionals in the past and have had heartbreaking losses. And lots of these guys are really experienced too. They've been a part of some of those heartbreaking losses in the postseason. I see them pushing it past where the team has been able to go before, just like they did this season. So that being said, I've got Southern Miss taking the series.
Charlie going with the Eagles. I'm going to write this down.
Hey, go ahead. You can go next, Kelvin.
Going into this regional. At first, when I saw this regional being named on Monday, I did think that this could be easy. I didn't think it would be easy. I did think this would be a winnable regional for Southern Miss. But of course, the one team that stuck out to me is LSU, of course. But looking at it now, I think Kennesaw State will definitely be a problem going forward. I think that LSU Kennesaw State game is going to be very close, but I think LSU ekes it out and edges that game. I think Southern Miss takes the first game against Army. But I do think going forward, I do think LSU and Southern Miss will meet up on Monday in a critical winner-take-all game. Because I think that Southern Miss, they proved that they belonged here, and I always said that they were going to host the regional toward at this time, but now is the time to prove it now. And toward the end is something I said, toward the end of their season, they got too comfortable and they started losing games that they could have easily won. And I think that Southern Miss will get caught slipping at one point, but I do think that LSU and Southern Miss will meet in a winner takes all. And I have Southern Miss edging that out.
I'm kind of like Demo, I'm on the fence, but I'm a double down. I'm on the fence. I'm nervous. I don't know, Demo. Are you nervous?
We're unbiased.
I'm saying, I mean, we are unbiased, but, you know, I'm nervous for Southern Miss. And I'm trying not to be, I'm trying to be a journalist here. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be a journalist here, but I am nervous for Southern Miss. But I'm going to double down. I said it on my prediction, and I'm not going to change that because, I mean, that's what I said and that's what I felt at the time. So I'll just go and just go game by game how I see it kind of breaking down for you guys. Game one, Southern Miss versus Army. I see Southern Miss winning that game. I see Southern Miss winning it. You have your best, you have your ace out there. I think he pitches well. He may get a 10-plus strikeout game. And your batters come up when needed. Like I said, I'm a fan of Danny Lynch. I said it in my prediction. I think he is going to be the spark plug for Southern Miss. So I think that, you know, Southern Miss is struggling, and Danny Lynch will be the guy to get those bats back hot. But I also want to make another stat that I saw. And then I'll get fully into my prediction. I just had it up on here, man. We have a boatload. Me and Demon have a boatload of papers in front of us, man. So we've been breaking this thing down sheet by sheet. But I think that your hot bats will be Gabe and Danny. They have the most experience. Also, Will McGillis. Last year, I'm just going back to the Oxford Regional. If we have one of those slugfests, Will McGillis hit 429. Gabe hit 440. And Danny Lynch hit 359. Those were the highest averages of last year, actually, in the Ole Miss Regional. Right behind them, you had Blake Johnson, who can definitely hit the balls. Might be a surprise. He hit 357. But McGillis had McGillis had four homers. Lynch and Sargent had three, and Gabe had one. But they definitely had a lot of hits. Gabe had 22 hits. So I think that you're going to rely a lot on those guys. McGillis, Montenegro, Lynch, and Sargent, those are going to be your guys right there. And I think Ewan can definitely be a spark plug. But I think that these guys are really going to be special. So I see them, those guys that I named, those five being based off what their regional was last year, I see them being the reason that Southern Miss defeats LSU in game four, because definitely I feel that LSU will handle Kennesaw State in game two. In game three, you have Kennesaw State versus Army. I feel like Kennesaw State will pull that game out. It'll be a tough one. Army gets eliminated. Going on to game five, you have Kennesaw State versus LSU. I think LSU finds a way to pull it out. After that, game five, you have am I getting that correct? Yeah, game five. Then game six, you have LSU versus Southern Miss. I think that, you know, LSU finds a way to pull it out based off the hitters that they have. By then, you would probably have Waldrop, or it depends if Waldrop or Riggins. I don't know who they'll start for Southern Miss, but I definitely feel like that. In that matchup, you know, LSU has faced a ton of you pointed this out, but Waldrop has some issues right now. His fastball isn't as fast. Could you help me with that one, Dima? His fastball is kind of slowed down a bit?
Yeah.
Waldrop may struggle with a team like LSU, and they face, you know, pitchers like on the standard of Waldrop all year. LSU finds a way to pull it out. Then you go to a game seven, which I feel that this may be the year that Southern Miss withstands the rain and pulls it out. But I definitely think it may come down to a crazy ninth inning right here. I'm missing a point. But I definitely think it's going to be a solid one. I think it's definitely going to come down to the last stretch between these two. And we're definitely going for a game seven. I can guarantee a game seven. If I'm wrong, call me Charles Barkley. But
you call me that.
I guarantee a game seven. So it'll be a fun one. It could go either way. But Southern Miss will outlast LSU because of pitching. I think that they find a way to pitch well. Turner may make an appearance on Monday, or you might have to go to your bullpen. I can see a guy like Landon Harper if they don't play throw him too much. A guy like Landon Harper or Dalton Rogers, who I'm highly fond of. I like Dalton Rogers, or some of those guys can make an appearance. But that's all I have for it. That's my thing. I'll hand it over to Dima, man.
Wait, hold up. Real quick, Dima, before you go. Austin, to add on to your point, I also think another hitter might make an impact, and I think his name is Carson Pato. I know it's kind of been silent for him the past couple of games, but I think that he's probably going to be one of those sparks to that Southern Miss, that Southern Miss is going to have in this regional. That's all I have to say, though. I think Carson is going to show up too.
I agree. I mean, hey, I'm just going to say it right here, man. I'm looking for that next Reed Trimble in this region.
Who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be?
So
that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
So, Charlie, you went with Southern Miss. Kobe, you went with Southern Miss. And Austin went with Southern Miss.
It kind of hurts to go with Southern Miss because I want to pull for LSU right now and just say LSU.
Well, I'm from Louisiana. I want to pull for them too, but
and I don't like that shit.
So, I'll just say, so for the first game, I think Southern Miss will be fine tomorrow, and they'll get past Army. I think they'll, but I will say Army. I don't think that everybody should just be.
I don't want
to. And I think so, but I am gonna take a wacky bet here, and I'm going to take Kennesaw State to beat LSU in game two tomorrow night. And the reason being is because everybody's talking.
Wait, repeat that. You said
Kennesaw State beating LSU tomorrow night. Everybody's talking about Southern Miss LSU matchup Saturday night. Everybody's talking about it. And this Kennesaw State ball club, they can hit the ball, and they'll have their ace out there pitching against LSU. And they're going to want that. They want this just as bad as LSU does.
Of course they do. Of course.
They want it just as bad as LSU
does. But my question for Kennesaw State is, I know they're a good ball hitting club, but can they – I mean, they're hitting higher and right now with a batting average of 301, but LSU is at 289.
But Austin, this is my prediction.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. Go ahead. I'm not trying to. I was just making a point of.
No, I'm just messing. But anyway, so I think Kennesaw State's going to beat LSU. Like, I'm thinking it. So the Southern missing Kennesaw State on Saturday night, and I think Southern will take that one, get to Sunday undefeated. LSU will make its way out of the loser's bracket and come and face Southern Miss on Sunday. But I think, and I think that if Southern Miss does not win on Sunday against LSU, they will not win the regional. And because I do not think that a Matt Adams start against LSU on Monday night is going to be enough.
I don't see Matt Adams even starting this regional, man. I'll just be honest. But we'll have to see.
Yeah. So, just to point it out, and I think everybody's still coming off that Conference USA tournament. Everybody's still coming off of it and saying, man, you know, Southern Miss, they're not hitting the ball. Like, what are we doing? We're going to die. We're going to go 0-2 in this regional. Mississippi State last year got run-ruled back-to-back in the SEC tournament last season. Run-ruled and back-to-back in the SEC tournament to open up postseason. They went on to win the national title. Teams play better in the conference tournament because they are fighting to get in. Southern Miss knew they were getting in. There wasn't a lot of pressure on Southern. Obviously, they wanted to win, not discounting that. But UTSA wanted to win more.
La Tech wanted to win more.
Old Dominion, UAB, they wanted to win more because they're fighting for their season. Southern Miss is now fighting for their season in this NCAA regional. And like I said, if they can follow all three of the keys to the game that I said a minute ago, they will take this regional. They will beat LSU. I'm very confident that, especially if they get to Sunday without a loss, I think they can put together one game against LSU that'll be enough. And I think that, I think they'll get it. I think they'll get it done. This is the year. I think they're going to get it done, and they're going to be moving on. That's my prediction.
We will see. I don't think.
Oh, and
go ahead, Kobe.
And also, Dima, to your point, like you said, with UTSA, UAB, everybody that was fighting for this season, who's to say that Army and Kennesaw State not doing the same thing? Because we're talking
I'm definitely on Kennesaw State boat for tomorrow night.
Because everybody's talking about LSU and Southern Miss.
And LSU is not that much better than Kennesaw State. We really do not know how healthy they're going to be.
The only thing that I say for LSU is
Charlie's making faces over here. Charlie, could you say what the listeners can't see your face, so you got to say what you're thinking.
I was calling Cap.
That was smooth. Hey, I would say definitely it'll be interesting. Kennesaw State, I don't want to count this team out. I don't want to count them out. They have some guys that can hit the ball. Like I said, you know, you have a guy that's hitting 386 right now. You have actually five guys hitting over 300. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty impressive to have five guys in your lineup hitting over 300 is pretty impressive for me.
I feel like tomorrow night LSU is going to beat them like 21-0. And then I'm going to be like, you know, I'm the worst prediction in the history of baseball. But if Kennesaw State wins, all three of y'all who are going, Demers nuts.
No, I'm not going nuts. We're
getting on this podcast tomorrow night after the game. And I'm going to say, welcome to the Dima Mixon Show.
Hey. Presented to you by 4th Street Sports.
Yeah.
But Dima, I got.
And I'm going to have my dad on. We're just going to be talking, you know.
I will put out a tweet if that happens and say you were right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I gotta be in fact,
I'm so excited about this prediction that I'm staying for that game and watching. I'm gonna be the biggest Kennesaw State fan in the stands.
Kennesaw State.
Probably the only one there.
Kennesaw State, you better pitch it. That's all I gotta say.
But I mean, you know, you're gonna have John Bezdik out there. He's 3.75 ERA. It's better than 99 Ty Butler down there. So
yeah, Ty Butler, geez.
Why did we just violate this dude? Like, that dude probably only played one inning.
He didn't even play an inning. He played like half it.
That's just a statistical anomaly.
I know, but it's just funny to see on the stat line.
The guy gave up four hits
in less than a third of an inning.
Watch this dude listen to it, and he's like, "Coach, put me in."
He gave up three walks, six earned runs, six runs, and four. Jesus Christ, man! Hey, at least
it's safe to say that we might not be having to think about this dude right now because they got probably a lot of other pitchers playing the season.
Ty Butler will save the season for Kennesaw State.
He's gonna go in and strike out Southern Miss's lineup. He's gonna throw a no hitter.
Hey, don't be surprised. He go in there 99, 98, 97.
This guy has a 99 ERA. He struck out 9 batters.
We're killing this guy. Hope he's not listening.
I hope.
I'm telling y'all, this is the kind of stuff. Well, Kennesaw State hears all this.
Yeah.
They're gonna beat LSU tomorrow night.
Also, let's talk about LSU. Let's not without addressing this. It was a podcast that some of LSU folks were doing.
Oh yeah, and they were talking about the Super Regional.
Yeah, they were talking about Super Regional, and they laughed at Southern Miss.
You remember what I said earlier in this podcast? Mental game.
It's mental. They laughed at the thought of Southern Miss. I just want to point that out. So, you know, take one game at a time. Definitely the motto for all these teams, but I don't think LSU baseball players took one game at a time because they're thinking about some reason.
The most dangerous team in any sports is the overdog with the underdog mentality. Who's the overdog? Who's the number one seed? Who's supposed to win, but statistically, has the underdog mentality that nobody respects them, nobody thinks they can hit, nobody thinks they can get out of here. Oh, you bet your bottom they're going to get out of here.
And honestly, that should put a battery in their back to try to win this even more now, honestly. Because if you got a team like LSU, they're a historical program, but they're not hosting there in your region and they think this is going to be a cakewalk. That should put a battery in your back. And like we've been saying, baseball is a mental game. This is a chess game. So and get ready to defend your home turf, though. So if anything, that should put a battery in their back. So, yeah.
Yeah, and completely forgot what I was going to say.
Take golly. Your time, Demon. Take
oh, my gosh. That's a thought, and it just came out of my brain. Anyways, but, yeah, like I said, overdog with the underdog mentality. Most dangerous team, and I think Southern Miss can definitely earn that. And we'll see what happens. Also, last time Southern Miss, they have hosted a regional now three times, including this one. They're 0-2. They've not won a regional on their home field yet. And I remember what I was going to say now. LSU beat Southern Miss in the 2019 regional. And some of the players, especially Gabe Montenegro, on this roster were there. They remember it. And it's just a mental game.
Historical stat, too. Yeah, yeah. It's really a mental game. Also, I just want to highlight this. Southern Miss is 0-5 versus LSU in the NCAA region. So I just wanted to highlight that. So
we're all going Southern Miss more across the board, which means they're going to go 0-2.
In the pickup on that regional, that was one of Southern Miss's best team around that time. And I honestly thought they could have beat LSU in that regional. But
one of the greatest moments in Southern Miss history when that home run was – that grand slam was hit to tie the game. Yeah. Bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, and they
– regional, you had the Arizona State game.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that one, too. Yeah.
It's historical. That was a fun region. Demo pointed it out. But I mean, for Southern Miss, this regional can go highly. I'm gonna just be honest. I think that this regional can go highly well, or it can go highly good. I don't think there's no in between for Southern Miss right now. Especially like you could rattle off three wins and move on, or you could go 0-2. I don't want to make it funny or anything, but like. You could go 0-2. It's possible.
Very possible.
Like I said, I've seen very, very good teams of host regionals and literally lose two straight games. I remember Vanderbilt 1 year lost two straight games in the Nashville regional and got booted out. So it's not going to be an easy thing for them to do. And I know a lot of people said this is a very winnable thing for them, but heavy is that head that wears the crowns, and they got to – they got to be consistent all the way through, honestly. So that's what I also think for Southern Miss, if they want to win this. So,
well, I think that's been good. Game time tomorrow, 1 p.m. correct? This will probably drop in the morning, so you're not going to be able to get a ticket, if you haven't gotten one already. So the Pete will be packed. Alliterative right there. So anyways, you'll be able to catch it on ESPN Plus. Yep. I'm going to my fact checkers. Yeah, there we go. Yes. So definitely stay tuned for Dima's live tweets. And then we're also going to have Austin and me taking pictures, probably Kobe joining in on that live tweeting too. And just stay tuned to the Southern Miss Student Media for any coverage of the regional, because we've got it going on there. And 4th Street for special shows coming possibly soon, depending on the outcome of this regional.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely have one after this regional to see, to break down what happened and everything, though, too. But, Southern Miss takes on Army at 1 p.m., and LSU takes on Kennesaw State at 6 p.m. in game two. So you don't want to miss – wait, huh?
Weather permitting.
I've looked at some stuff. It's saying about 30% to 50% chance that it may rain later on in the day. So – it may come in, it may not. From what I'm saying right now, for the 1 p.m. game, it's a 50% chance of thundering and lightning.
Ooh. We don't want to hear that. Let's not say that.
And from what I've heard on TikTok,
that's credible.
When it says 50% chance rain, it is raining somewhere. So that's just 50% of the area where it may rain. So yeah. I found it out through TikTok. So it is going to rain somewhere. that's not just 50% chance in the area of Hattiesburg, but it's raining in 50% of Hattiesburg, I believe, or something like that. But that was something that I found for TikTok for the 6 p.m. game. It should be clear, so we'll have to see.
Thank the Lord above, we have turf now. So even if it does rain a lot, we won't have to worry about heavy delays. So, yeah. But, yeah, Southern Miss versus Army at 1 p.m., LSU versus Kennesaw State at 6. You will not be able to get a ticket. It's sold out. So try to watch it on ESPN Plus or on the Southern Miss Sports Radio Network as well, because everybody should.
Or another option. Get as close as possible to the game and hit a throw it in the dirt, guy.
Hey, if you live in them apartments next to the P, you can hear it. You can hear the game. So
yeah. I think he's gonna make an appearance.
He's definitely gonna make an appearance.
I think he'll go viral. That's one of my predictions. Throw it in the dirt, guy will go viral. He will go viral. Yes.
Yeah. So
he doesn't. He does. I still don't know what that guy looks like either. So
I kind of know what he looks like. I've looked over when I was in the press box once, and I've seen what he looks like. Not too clear on it, but you'll know him when you see him. You'll kind of know him when you see him. So
how he sounds is my question.
Who knows? But definitely stay tuned for the Hattiesburg Regional, and definitely stay tuned for all the coverage from here on 4th Street with Dima, Austin, everybody that's going to be there this weekend. But now moving on to our flowers, ladies and gentlemen. For those who are listening to the 4th Street Sports Show for the first time, our flower section is where we give our praise and we give our honors to Southern Miss student athletes who have received honors during the week, whether they're current or they're past student athletes here. And first, we're going to start off with Danny Lynch and Hunter Riggins for making the Conference USA All-Tournament team. They were voted in to that All-Tournament team that Sunday, and they both made it. So congratulations to Danny Lynch and Hunter Riggins for that as well. Tanner Hall, he won a lot of awards this year. So let me name them all. He was named Collegiate Baseball First Team All-American. He's the first since Nick Sandlin in 2018. Hall was also named Conference USA Pitcher of the Year. He was also awarded the Ferris Trophy, which was for the top collegiate baseball player in the entire state of Mississippi. He's also a semifinalist for both the Golden Spikes Award and the Dick Hauser Trophy Award. Also, Tanner Hall was invited to the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team. So congratulations to Tanner Hall, all those accomplishments and all those awards that he received. Also, moving on from the baseball diamond on to track and field, Marquesha Myers and Corville Ty qualified for the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Myers for the women's triple jump and Ty for the men's high jump. So congratulations to Marquesha and Corville Ty for qualifying. Also, moving on to football, tight end Grayson Gunther signed to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And O-lineman Kalik Washington signed to the New Orleans Saints as undrafted free agents. So congratulations to those Golden Eagles for signing.
For a three-year deal. So congratulations to them. So it's definitely good to see that. Just to talk about the undrafted free agents, I'm definitely proud of those guys and Gunner and Kalik. Will Hall actually talked about last year that Kalik was definitely a NFL type caliber guy. So that's good to see him make it to the league. And hopefully he can have a sustainable career. And Gunter kind of surprised me, guys. I'm just being honest. Grayson did, but I'm definitely proud of him and all those guys who made it. It's always good to see Golden Eagles move on to, you know, be professional athletes in sports that they love and have dedicated so much time and energy to. So congratulations to both of those guys.
Definitely congratulations. Also, I got to give flowers to everybody who bought a ticket for the Hattiesburg Regional, packed it out, sold it out. Again, it's been a while since we had a regional, but the fact that everybody packed it out, I think on the second day that tickets were available and everything, they packed it out. So that's great. So I also got to give flowers to the baseball fans who are coming out to the Pete for that. So congrats. So flowers to them as well. But yeah, that's all of our flowers that we have given out. And unless I'm missing something, Dima.
Yeah, I was just gonna say after each game, I'm gonna do a Twitter space. So mm-hmm. whoever wants to join in to listen to that, just so we can break down the game and give you like a quick, 20-30 minute just recap of that previous game. And then like you said, for the end of the regional, we'll come back on here and do another hour and a half or whatever. But just a quick recap of the game, just so you can hear our immediate thoughts and as we progress to the regional, just really looking for that on Twitter.
Oh, speaking of that too, Demon, can you give them your Twitter and all your social media and everything as well though?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at @Dima_Mixon. I do all the live tweeting for the games and then Instagram and Facebook. I don't really typically use a lot for student prints. I mean, but you can go on there and it's at @DJTMixon for Instagram. And I actually have no idea what it is on Facebook, but you just look up Dima Mixon. There's probably not that many Dima Mixons, so you'll find me. Yeah. Just look on my profile pic, and it'll be me with my girlfriend.
Yeah. So, again, Dima, thank you for coming on. And all y'all go follow him on all his social media platforms and everything. Definitely be looking out for him during his live tweeting during the game. Thank you, everybody. Thank y'all for watching. Thank y'all for joining. Of course, y'all can follow us on all social media platforms, 4th Street, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere right now. Right now, we're not on the radio currently for WSM due to break, but we will do special shows like these during the summer as well. We should have a post-regional show after this as well to recap everything that went on during the regional as well.
Hopefully we'll be previewing a super.
Hope so. Could we potentially see an Ole Miss Southern Miss Super Regional? Who knows?
Miami doesn't lose at home, but it's possible. Yeah. 28-8.
Yep. Good old Coral Gables. So definitely be staying tuned for that as well. And of course this episode should be dropping tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow morning, or if I can get it out tonight, hopefully I can get it out tonight. But it definitely subscribe to all our podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, or subscribe to our YouTube as well. And yeah, this has been the 4th Street Sports Show. I've been your host, Kobe.
I've been Charlie. I was reaching for the mute button.
Moved on. And of course, our special guest,
Dima Mixon.
And this has been the 4th Street Sports Show. And we will see you, and hopefully we'll see you guys after the regional. Peace and love, everyone.
4th Street Sports.
3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 5 p.m.